Achaia has been ready since last year, and your zeal has stirred up most of them. But I am sending the brother so that our boasting about you may not prove empty in this matter, so that you may be ready as I said you would be. Otherwise, if some Macedonians come with you and find that you are not ready, you would be humiliated, to say nothing of you, for being so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to go on ahead to you and arrange the advance for the gift you have promised, so that it may be ready as a willing gift, not as an exaction. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your food for sowing and increasing the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the need of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. While they long for you and pray for you, because of the surpassing grace of God upon you, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. You may be seated.
So we're just going to walk through this passage first by looking at the first paragraph in verses 1 through 5, and then we'll spend most of our time in verses 6 through 11. The saints in Jerusalem were facing much persecution. There was a lot of poverty, there was a famine, they were really suffering. And the church of Macedonia was also poor. They didn't have much. But they still sought to help out the believers in Jerusalem. The Macedonian church, like I say, they were very poor. But they gave beyond their means. And they gave with joy. They just wanted to help the brothers and sisters that were in Jerusalem, even though they didn't have much. In fact, they begged to help them. See, poor people usually don't beg to help somebody else. They're always begging for themselves. So God was working in Macedonia. Paul was boasting about the Macedonian church to the Corinthians in chapter 8. In chapter 9, verse 2, he says, "For I know your readiness, of which I boast about you to the people of Macedonia, saying that Achaia has been ready since last year, and your zeal has stirred up most of them." Now, Paul is boasting about the Corinthians to the Macedonians. The Macedonians, they were the northern part of Greece, and then Corinthians were the southern part of Greece. So all of Greece is ready and willing to give to Jerusalem. since Paul had did all this boasting about their giving, now he has to make sure they come through on their promise. So Paul sends Titus and another brother to go in advance and make sure they can collect the gift. He's also doing this because he doesn't want them to offer a huge gift at once. Like, he doesn't want to take up an offering. It would be right, like right now asking you guys to give me $1 million. Like that's not what he wants. He told them at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 6 to start every week, once a week, on the Lord's Day, to give a little bit and keep giving and keep giving. And they did this for years. And then they had a lot more to give to the church in Jerusalem. Now, all the saints in Jerusalem weren't poor, but there were so many poor people that the saints that had, they couldn't help them. So they had to rely on other churches. Now that we've seen the background and the context of this passage, we'll look at the next paragraph in verses 6 through 11. So fix your eyes on verse 6 with me. It reads, "The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." So Paul is saying to them, if they missed it, or if they just didn't understand, this is the bottom line: you reap what you sow. This is like one of my favorite verses. I didn't know, because it's just so simple. He said, this is the point right here. Like, you don't got to search for it. It's right here. It's good. And you all know this. So if you sow a little bit of seed, you know you're not going to get much back. But if you sow a lot, you get a lot back. That's just how it works. Let's look at the next verse, verse 7. "Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly, not under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." Paul was not seeking to force them to give. He was just explaining to the Corinthians how giving should be done. Each person is supposed to give from their heart, meaning that we should give what we're comfortable giving, not what somebody may want us to give. Not giving an amount that makes you feel bad or makes you regret giving it. Like, sometimes you might do a trade with somebody, then you'd be like, I regret that. I never should have done that. But they say, back, no trade backs. They get you like that, and you can't trade it back. An example of a heartfelt giving is seen in Exodus chapter 25. So God tells Moses to tell the people of Israel to collect an offering for him. But everybody wasn't able to participate in this offering. It was only the people whose hearts moved to give. Like, if I ask you right now for a dollar, and if the first thing that comes to your mind is like, I don't got it, I don't really have enough to give you a dollar right now, then you really shouldn't give it to me. But if the first thing that comes to your mind is like, of course, I'll give you this dollar, like you have joy in giving me this dollar, then I want to take it. This is what God is saying to the people. He wants all of us to give willingly and freely. He's not placing a burden on you. God doesn't want us to give money just to give money. He doesn't want us to give just because we have something extra, like when you go to the store and they ask you if you want the change back. You just say no. Like, you can put in a little donation for the kids or whatever it may be. Or when you go to the store and then you come out and you see the Santa Claus ringing the bell, you throw some change in there. Like, you're not really happy to do it. Like, you're indifferent. Like, you really don't care. God doesn't want that type of giving either. If you don't feel like giving, or if your heart is not moved to give for the work of the Lord, then you just shouldn't give. You should keep that money, because that's not the money that God wants. But if you never want to give, you need to ask God to see what is stopping you from wanting to worship Him in giving. You may not give because you don't have. That's understandable. You can't give something you don't have. But it could be because you're selfish or you're stingy and you don't want to give your money to anybody else, especially not the church. I can get this way too. When I was younger, I did not want to give to the church. I wanted to keep my own money. So I would just ask my mama for some money so I could put that in the plate so I didn't have to give mine. But still, it's like, God don't want it. Like, if it's not coming from the heart, He doesn't want it. I know, like, most of us like to see our bank accounts grow, right? Like, maybe some of you are waiting to hit that 1,000. Or that 5,000, or that 10,000. It's very exciting to watch that money grow. But your money doesn't grow by being stingy. You don't prosper that way. You don't prosper by being selfish. The Bible tells us that we prosper by giving. And it's not for us to hoard. It's for us to give even more. So if you feel like you're stingy and you don't want to give anything, I suggest that you pray to God and ask Him to help you, to work on your heart so that you can have a heart that's ready and willing to give to the Lord. So if you're giving, you've been giving, but you're mad about it, you probably need to reevaluate and give a little less, or give what you're comfortable giving. God wants you to have joy when you give to Him. So for those of you that have jobs and you want to give, you should give. But I can't tell you the amount to give. Give something that's going to make you happy and that's going to make the Lord happy. I remember when I used to go to church, I used to go to Sunday school. And this really isn't free will giving, but like on your birthday that week, if you had a birthday, you would go to Sunday school and you were able to count out your money in front of everybody and put it in an offering. But this is not like big dollar money. We're talking about cents. It's just change. So if you turn 15, you put 15 cents in. Or you turn 7, you put 7 cents in. But it's such a joy to do that. Like just put that 7 cents in that bucket. Like, you're just so happy. And that's what God wants for you. Like, when you put that money or you give that money to something, he wants you to have that joy. He doesn't want you to be angry at him. Like, he's not forcing you to give him anything. He owns everything already. So giving money should not decrease your joy, but increase our thankfulness to the Lord for allowing us to have something to give. Some people don't have anything to give. But if you have something to give, you should be thankful. Giving is an expression of our inward delight in the Lord. Giving is more than putting money in a plate or a basket or sending it online. Giving is worship. It's worship to the Lord. So what kind of givers does God want? He wants a cheerful giver. Somebody who's happy to give. In the scriptures, there are many verses that speak about what God hates. Like, he hates a lot of things. And there are few verses that speak about what God loves. He demonstrates his love all throughout the Bible. We know that. But still, there are few verses that said, God loves this, or the Lord loves that. So we must pay attention. When God says he loves something, like, we know he loves his son. He loves those who do righteousness and justice. God loves those who keep his commandments. And God loves to see his children giving out of gladness. It pleases the Lord to see us giving. So we also see this act of generosity in another building project in 1 Chronicles 29, as David wants to build the temple, but he can't because he was a man of war. But still, he gave as much as he could to supply for this temple. He even gave out of his own treasure for this temple to be built. And when he gave, the other leaders of Israel gave. And they were just rejoicing by how much they gave. Willingly. They weren't forced. And they don't even know how much they needed. They just gave. With joy. So what about on Sunday? Are you excited Sunday morning to give? Before COVID, I was excited. But now online, it's a little different. But before COVID, like, actually putting the money in the plate, just remembering, like, God got me this job. Like, if you have a job, and God has supplied for me and provided for me all week, and now I can, in some sort of way, like, just worship him and thank him for what he has given me. So maybe you have never given before, but there may be, like, a missionary that you would like to support or help out. Or sometimes we, every once in a while, we'll have a special offering for somebody. Maybe you would like to give then. But I don't want to force your hand, because God doesn't. You have to want to give. Let's go to verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Paul is letting the Corinthians know that God will bless them because they have given. Like, this is not prosperity preaching. This is the word of God. He will bless you if you give. if you sow, you will reap. Like, that's the truth. But you got to understand, you're not reaping for yourself. You're reaping for him. So if you say, I've done all this giving, but if you're doing it with the wrong heart, he doesn't even want it. You don't reap that way. And then you may be saying, like, what about all the celebrities? They got this, they got that. All money ain't good money. Especially if you're not using it for the Lord. Like, maybe Satan allows them to get that so that they can destroy themselves. And maybe God doesn't allow you to get as much so you don't destroy yourself. Like, you don't know how he's working. You just got to trust him. This is my first time I ran out of time. Give me a little bit more and then I'll let you go. So in verse 10 and 11, God supplies the seed. God supplies the bread. God will supply and increase your seed for you to continue doing the work. God is the faithful creator. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. They always say, God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he owns all the hills. He owns it all. It's all his. So you can't fear giving to him. It's not yours in the first place. It's his. I heard a preacher say, you came in the world naked, you're going out of the world naked. It's all his. It doesn't matter. So we must just try our best to worship him. Not just in giving, but in all things. So I want you to check yourself. And make sure you're being faithful with what God has given you. The more you sow, the more you will reap. And God loves a cheerful giver. But you got to remember one thing. You can't beat God giving. Like, God will bless you tremendously. But not for you to hoard it. Not for you to keep investing. For you to do the work. To do the ministry. To help out others. That's why God will bless you. Let us pray. Father, we're so thankful that you provide for us. None of us are in severe need, Lord. You take care of us, Lord. We're so appreciative of that. May you continue to do that, Lord, and may we worship you with all that we have. May we have good conversations in our small group, and may we continue to grow. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.